And welcome in to the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's having a great start to their Thursday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good. We got through Preds Insiders last night, and Nick Kieser did not swear one time. It was good stuff. Way to go, Nick.
But like as soon as you went off there, he probably just like fired
just
off
a
like
mountain
a
of
dozen. Just yeah,
gotta watch out for that kid.
I tell you what, foul mouth. For people who don't know, and I mean it's 6:02, so whatever.
But yeah,
like we joke because he probably has never said a swear word in his life
ever.
Yes, ever.
Ever.
Right.
Way to go, Nick.
Because some people are going to actually start to believe that he's
like, wow,
Bobby Knight of radio.
Nick Kieser, really? Would have never guessed it. Yeah, oh, man.
Poor
good stuff
Nick. Poor
last
Nick.
Night from Nick Kieser. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Struggle bus this morning. It was like 17 snoozes.
Mm. That's a lot of snoozes.
One of those days this morning in my 17 alarms that I have. So
9 minutes per snooze?
Yeah. Wow. But I also have like 7 or 10 alarms. So
oh, okay.
You just got to, you know, they're just always ringing.
Just alarms going off left and right.
Yes.
Bells and whistles everywhere.
Yes.
Game one of the NBA Finals tonight. Looking forward to it. Got they're talking about it on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, and they're already talking about the Heat getting swept. So it's a fun time.
Let's relax with that.
It's like, we play one game first.
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, what's the ESPN FPI?
I don't know. It's a good question.
101% chance for Denver. Hey, this is the night for your Heat to get it
done. I agree.
This is your night to the team that team has been sitting around.
Feels like Denver hasn't played tonight. Since March.
Exactly. Get them tonight. Hey, I got an open mind in the Heat. They've way exceeded anything I thought was possible.
Same here. So yeah. We'll see what happens in game one tonight as the NBA Finals get underway. We'll get a little bit more into that as the show goes on today. The press conference yesterday, Joe Rexroad, of which you were in attendance, with Andrew Burnett, David Poile, and Barry Trotz. And they got into a lot of different topics. You know, Barry Trotz addressed, you know, how he handled the John Hines situation. Obviously spoke a lot about Andrew Burnett and the offensive style that he's going to bring to the table. Talked about the style of play that he wants to have moving forward. Lots of different things discussed yesterday at the press conference with Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz specifically. David Poile also there. But what were your main takeaways yesterday from what Barry Trotz and new Nashville Predators head coach Andrew Burnett had to say?
Yeah, shout out to Corey Curtis for at the end of the press conference. Say, David, I'll ask you a question.
David,
poor David, sitting up there, didn't have a lot going on, but he had a very good comment at the end after Corey asked him a question. I think Andrew Burnett came off just like he comes off publicly, and I think there was a lot of interesting stuff in there. Some players showed up, and Forsberg and Yossi talked, and you know. There was a fair amount of the talk about the way the Hines thing ended, but you know, I think a theme of the press release, theme of the press conference, and then the breakout afterward is, you know, again talking about offense. You know, a lot of talk about offense, which, you know, to me is just like, you know, like I wrote this in The Athletic, but it's like just, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. Like, I don't think he's going to come in here and revolutionize offensive hockey next year. You know, I think that it's very much personnel related, and I'm sure that they'll look different, and there will be it's going to be exciting next year, you know. But also, you know, I asked Barry Trotz this, like, okay, so you defensive coach? We talked about it on the radio,
yeah.
And of course he's kind of like, well, that's what people said, and he said the same thing you did about the 07 team,
yeah.
You know. It's like, I love offense, right? So if you're a good coach, then you have to be good at coaching all of it, right?
Well, and you asked Andrew Burnett yesterday about, you know, would you say that you're an offensive coach? And his answer was, you know, not really. Like, I wouldn't say I'm an offensive coach. I like having the puck. And that's what the game is today. Like, having the puck, holding on to it, creating chances that way. And when you don't have it, getting it back as quick as possible. Like, nobody wants to you'd be hard-pressed to find a coach around the league that says, you know what I'd really like to do all game? I'd like to sit there in the defensive zone for about 45 of the 60 minutes and then pounce the rest of the 15
just
minutes.
Love playing defense.
Yeah.
Let's play defense a lot.
Now, having said that, I mean, the numbers are what they are. We went through some of those yesterday with, I think, the reporter Nick Kieser nailed it down. 4.11 goals per game when Andrew Burnett was the head coach of the Florida Panthers. Power play in New Jersey this year was really good. We've gone through like the offensive track record of the recent stops that Andrew Burnett has been. So I think it's okay if you're a Predators fan to look at some of that and be encouraged and say, okay, good. I mean, the way that they want to play the game, I think that's refreshing, and I think that could help out the roster. But to your point, and I think to a lot of what we got to yesterday, how much are they going to be able to play that way given the roster that he is inheriting?
Well, and another thing about it is, yeah, so the year he was with Florida, so they're fourth in power play, like 24%. You know, we talked yesterday about, like, I love that stat, like the zone entries leading to scoring, zone entry, controlled zone entry. That's a great stat. And all those things. Let's remember, that same season, the Preds were – what were the Preds? Were they fifth in power play? I mean, they were top ten for sure.
Five or six, I think, yeah.
So the exact same people, and as we talked about last year, ad nauseum, but the exact same people, same coach, same approach, same everything, just nosedived. And that's the thing. Like, there's going to be a year where, like, an Andrew Burnett Preds team has a very disappointing power play because this is what happened. Yeah, I mean, because it's so fleeting, and it's just some years you have it and it's just perfect and you have that confidence, then you lose it. I mean, the bottom line is, yes, I'm sure it'll look different, okay, but it's still, man, it's who was doing it, and can they do it at that high level? And he had guys who did in Florida.
He did, and look, he might here. I don't think we know yet. I mean, look, we know to a certain degree, I think, what Philip Forsberg is when he's healthy. He's a really good player. I mean, when he's, you know, he's got the talent to score 40. I think if he could stay healthy, he's going to be around 30 for the next little while here in his career. But as far as the younger guys, like, we don't know exactly what they are yet. And, they've got some cap room. They've got some space. I assume, along with a lot of other people, that this team is going to be really young next year. I think that's probably the way they should go. And I think based on some of the things that they said, I think that's what's going to happen. But who knows? Like, you could get to free agency, or all of a sudden somebody becomes available and this team looks different than we think it will next year with Barry Trotz kind of looking and seizing some opportunities there. So the point is, I really like the hire. Like, I've done a lot of looking into Andrew Burnett and talking with some people the last couple of days. I really like the hire. But it's hockey, and we talked a lot about it yesterday. It's more about the personnel, and can Andrew Burnett bring some of these young guys along? And, you know, a lot of people are worried about Johansson and Duchesne, and I get it because we've been worried about Johansson and Duchesne for 5 years now at this place. But, like, to me, it's so much less about those guys. Like, obviously, you want those guys to come in and to be productive and to help you next year, but this is way more of a 2-3-4-year picture to me than it is about next season with this group.
Yeah, I would say with those guys, it's been reduced to, like, next year, if they want to make the playoffs, then they probably need those guys to, you know, really perform,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, the bigger goal here, I mean, they're not going to be part of the long-term core. And so, I mean, I guess depending on your definition of long-term. But, no, look, I agree. I think it's a good hire. I think that he was going to get a head coaching job somewhere else. Talking to Yossi yesterday. And Yossi loves the talk of, you know, of trying to play faster and all that stuff. It's funny because Yossi, I was like, well, go through all the different systems you've been through. And he's like, yeah, Trotz, a little more defensive. Lavi, kind of fast and aggressive. Heinze, a little more defensive. You know, basically, it's like every other coach is like, has a reputation of something different.
Right.
But the thing that he talked about was he's been calling players all over the league about him, of course. And now, granted, had Yossi called someone and said, man, I really can't stand that dude. Ah, sorry, dude.
Yeah, Yossi.
I don't think he's going to tell us.
He comes out to me. He's like, man, I've heard some bad things.
Yeah, yeah. But I was excited, and then I called some people. Oh, man. But, you know, it's one of those things where when he brings it up unprompted,
right,
you it's pretty obvious that he got, you know, a lot of good endorsements for him. So, but again, it's like, it's the talent, but also it's being a well-rounded coach, right? It's everything, and it's just individually being able to reach people. I mean, how much we talk about that during Hines' tenure? It's like, man, he and Duchesne, they are not on the same page. And all of a sudden, oh, he and Duchesne went fishing all summer, and look how great Duchesne's playing. And there's that, and then there's obviously just fitting what you do to your players. That's what Trotz talked about too. Like, it's about who's your personnel. What do you do? Right.
Right.
So the press release was written by the ticket office.
Yes.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. It was a good press release from the Predators yesterday.
I mean, it came right, got right to the
point.
Yeah,
right to the point. I like it.
The best offensive coach in the league.
And there was one thing that Andrew Burnett talked about yesterday that, you know, it's an introductory press conference. I was talking about this last night on Preds Insiders. I don't think that you learn hardly anything from an introductory press conference. Like, we talk about winning the press conference all the time. It is what it is. We'll find out more about Andrew Burnett once they step on the ice and we see what this team's made of next year. But he did talk about, you know, in terms of the offensive conversation, playing with creativity and having some fun out there and kind of loosening things up offensively a little bit. And I do think in today's NHL, like, you've got to leave space for your offensive playmakers to be creative and live at times with mistakes out there, right? Like, even Connor McDavid. Like, there are some plays that Connor McDavid makes sometimes where you're like, ooh, boy, that was not very good. But you live with the rest of it because he's that great. I'm not saying that they have anything close to Connor McDavid, but I'm just saying, like, in today's NHL.
So you're Tommy Novak.
Mm-hmm. Is Connor McDavid. Similar. Same thing. But in today's NHL, like, you've got to let your players have a little bit of freedom offensively. And I'm not saying that John Hines didn't, but I do think there is a kind of this reputation of the defensive coach, right, of John Hines. And I don't think
being
Andrew
responsible
Burnett has that. And you can go too far with that, too. Like, you also can't let somebody just skate scot-free out there and do whatever they want. There's a nice balance that you've got to have to it. But I do think that that's going to be important with some of these younger guys, where, especially with the young team, you got to know heading into it, there are going to be mistakes. And there are going to be games where maybe you have a lead and they just totally blow it, and it's going to happen. But you got to live with it as a coach, because you got to bring them along offensively. That's what this next 2-3 years is going to be about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I do think that Hines very much focused on being responsible, and sometimes that might cost guys ice time and things like that. And maybe Tolvin is a little bit of an example of that.
Yeah, very well could be. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your reaction to the Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett comments yesterday at the press conference, including one thing in particular from Barry Trotz that I noticed yesterday that I really like. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
I would say before I got here from an outsider, yes, because they were not probably playing up to the level. Then when I got here and then all the changes, as I said to the coaching staff and I said to the whole group here, I thought they did an outstanding job, and that's undeniable. And I did, you know, they were well informed that I had the responsibility to the ownership, to the fans, to everybody to go through the process. And the process is not, you know, 2 or 3 days. The process is months of going through, evaluating, watching, doing interviews, the exit interviews at the end of the year, and then so on and so on. And then you have to wait for the process. You know, Andrew was on my radar when I was thinking about, you know, people that I want to talk to. There was a number of people that I thought would be interesting to talk to find out that what, you know, because you don't know till you know. So you have to go through all that process. A lot of the individuals that I talked to, such as Andrew, they were all coaching because they were doing a good job.
That was Barry Trotz yesterday at the press conference. Barry Trotz had a lot to say, as he typically does, at a press conference yesterday. And that was on the status of John Hines and kind of coming to the decision of moving on from John Hines. You know, it was interesting. He admitted there that, you know, when he first kind of came around the building, he thought that there was a pretty good chance he'd probably have to move on from John Hines because the team wasn't doing well, and then maybe that shifted as he got around Hines and the season ended the way that it did. Obviously, we now know what's happened, though. He's gone through the process. Andrew Burnett's the head coach, and they've moved on from John Hines. But what did you make of the way he addressed the John Hines part of this yesterday?
Well, I mean, I take him at his word. He was just keeping him around just in case.
Yeah.
That's what he was doing. He was – So, I mean, I give him credit for – and the way he talked about it was like, well, what else would I do?
Right.
You know, like, I still would disagree with that. I'd say, yeah, I think you could just fire him and, like – but his point being, if I didn't find the right candidate, then now you have that year, and then you go back and do it next year. But I just, to me, it's like if you're that uncertain or unsold on your coach, then just go ahead and do your best to hire the next coach.
And that part of it goes back to a question that I have that I'm not sure that he would ever really come out and say publicly, but like we've talked about Carl Taylor being a finalist. Like my question would be like if Brunette said no or went somewhere else, and obviously Carberry was in Washington, if you didn't like really anybody else, like are you going to Carl Taylor to be your head coach or are you just running back with John Hines? That would be what I would ask.
I think the answer is running back with John Hines.
I think that may be what it is.
And speaking of Carl Taylor, it sounds like their intent is for him to be in Milwaukee. We'll see if he gets any traction, maybe. See if like an Anaheim looks at him, but that's the plan. And Brunette will hire one coach,
which is interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, first off, I guess it's less interesting than what we talked about yesterday in terms of Andrew. Welcome to the team. Yeah. Here are your three assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Now, if Richards and Hinode are hanging around, which it looks like at least at the moment they are. I do wonder, who's that next hire going to be? I have no idea. We'll see what Andrew Brunette brings to the table. But it is – I thought there was a good chance that Carl Taylor could be on the staff next year, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Yeah, so it looks like for him it's Milwaukee or another organization.
Yep, could be. And who knows if John Hines gets the Rangers job, which apparently there is at least some consideration to that happening. Maybe Hinode and Richards go with him. We'll see what happens.
That is true. Man, is there any way we can get Lavi Hines combo?
That'd be awesome.
With the Rangers.
I'm here for it.
I'm totally here for it.
Sure, it would be a nice reaction around here with Lavi coaching the Rangers and John Hines out there. Maybe Lavi's assistant coach.
Passing the cup around.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Hines is Lavi's assistant coach. I mean, I suppose you go the other way around, but Lavi probably won't do that.
So on the Barry Trotz front, there were a few things that he said yesterday that I think Predators fans will be really encouraged by. But there was one kind of series of quotes that Barry Trotz had, and I assume that this was after like the formal part of the press conference that Alex Doherty tweeted out yesterday that I know that Preds fans that have been around here for a while will just love. And the quote was basically that he's told his scouts, quote, to take some swings, take some high-end swings on some guys, and then adds, quote, I can find you third line, fourth line guys, no problem. Go get me some guys that get people out of their seats. That's what Barry Trotz had to say yesterday. Again, this is from Alex Doherty of Penalty Box Radio that put that out there. I know Predators fans that have been around for any length of time are like, yes, thank you. Because I've heard so much, and we've seen it. I mean, Predators have really never had any trouble finding third line guys, fourth line guys to fill roles, to come in and to play kind of that grittier style. That's been what they've done. And the problem has always been, and Barry Trotz talked about this again yesterday, finding that top-level centerman, which is really difficult to find. They've not done that in 25 years. And I know somebody will say, well, they had Peter Forsberg. They had Peter Forsberg for like 17 games, and he was hurt. So they've not really found that guy for the history of their franchise. And, Barry Trotz, he was on with Jared yesterday too and said some interesting things about – obviously, that's the goal. Like, they want to find that top-level centerman that they've never been able to find. But if they can't, you have to build teams a different way. And he was talking about, in Chicago, when they won their cups with Kane and Hossa and beefing up the wings, basically, and the defense core to overcome the lack of elite centers. Now, they did have Jonathan Toews.
I was going to say, they had a little debate there. Trotz doesn't think much of Jonathan Toews, apparently. Yeah, he's all right.
I get what he's saying. Like,
yeah, he's not a top.
He's not a top offensive guy.
He's not McDavid.
Guy. Right. So his point was, like, you can build it up a different way. But if I'm a Predators fan that's been around here for a long time, I love the idea of looking at the scouts and being like, hey, man, take a risk. Go find somebody that could score. Bring us some high-level offensive talent, and I'll worry about the rest of it. I love that approach from the Predators.
No, for sure. There's a clear theme with him. Again, there's the coaching aspect of offensive coaching and all that. Again, I think that, it's not that simple, but clearly, I mean, he talks about winning, but also we are in the entertainment business, talks about that. He's like you said, those comments. Someone on the text line asks, Trotz said his scouting department would swing for the fence. Does that mean want to trade up or want to trade picks for a goal scorer? So Another thing I believe he said to Jared was that they have been trying. I mean, it means trade up to me. Like, they want to leverage some picks to move higher in the draft. I think he basically said they're trying to move in the top three or four. They've talked to people. So that's what it means. Another thing that Trotz said, a little bit separate of this, but it's worth mentioning on the side. I mean, I came away from yesterday thinking he's way down in the free agent class this year. Basically, to paraphrase what he says, like, you know, I might get a role player or two out there, but this is not the year.
It's not a great class.
This is not the year for a big free agency investment. So to me, if there's any sort of, you know, big proven veteran coming into this team, it's via trade.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would almost equate the NHL free agency class this year to what we just saw in NFL free agency.
Why is it so bad?
I don't know.
Why is 2023 so bad?
It's not very good. I guess general managers did a phenomenal job of locking up some of their players and not letting any good ones get to free agency.
Yeah, I guess.
But it's really weird the way that's kind of played out. So I agree. Like, I think if you're the Predators, you're keeping an eye on some teams that are up against it salary cap-wise that may have to make some moves, and maybe you can put yourself in the mix that way. But also, I don't think you're going to, like, reach to go do that. Like, Barry Trotz is not going to, you know, offer the farm for somebody who's on the last year of their deal, who's 29 years old, who's not one of those elite players. Like, you're not making a trade just for the sake of making a trade this summer. The draft part of it's interesting. Like, you know, we talk so much about Bedard. We know that he's going number one to Chicago. And somebody texted me yesterday, like, do you think the Predators could trade all 13 of their picks for Bedard? No, I don't.
Sure.
Chicago would not do that. So we know who's going.
They can give Chicago the Music City Center.
Yeah.
Like, put it
Chicago,
on a truck.
You can have a portion of Nashville.
Yeah.
Just annex this land to you.
Yeah, you guys can have Jared. You want Jared?
Yeah. Hey, maybe so. Maybe that'll be the thing that pushes it over the top. But we know that Bedard's going one. I think Adam Fantilli is going number two, I think. But if you're the Predators, could you get up to number three? Could you get up to number four?
Is there someone in particular?
Is there somebody in particular
range
they want?
Yeah. It's not just to go, right?
Right.
It's for somebody that you think you can get.
Exactly. So, I mean, that part of it would be really intriguing if they could leverage picks that way. There was also something really interesting that Barry Trotz said yesterday with Jared that I want to get to coming up next. We'll do that. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up here in just a few minutes.
I just want to real fast, they just showed the old Heat Nuggets game from earlier.
Yeah.
And the Heat were winning the entire game, and they showed nothing but Nuggets baskets.
The disrespect is real, man.
The disrespect is real.
All playoffs long, though. This game, yes, but really all playoffs long.
Disrespect is real. I think it's Pat Riley to come down there and fight people.
Let it fuel the fire, Jimmy Butler.
That's right.
Looking forward to that. I have more to say about that than the best and worst thing in sports coming up here in just a few minutes. So looking forward to that. We talked about the press conference yesterday from Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett. Barry Trotz also went on with Jared yesterday, and it was kind of Trotz and Burnett at the same time. So nice job by Jared yesterday in the interview. I know we don't like to give him credit very much on the program, but he did a nice job yesterday.
I mean, you guys like to give him credit. I'm the only one who rips him.
And then he got destroyed in Jared versus Joe.
He did. Well,
she said me?
You just try to be non-committal. You try to be non-committal.
I'm Switzerland.
I'm a big Jared fan.
I am too. It was a good interview.
Anyway, one of the things he talked with Barry Trotz about yesterday was something that you and I have discussed a lot, and that is eventually at some point, I think, a decision on your goaltending is coming up with UC Saros and Yaroslav Askarov. And how does Barry Trotz view that? How open would he be to trading one of those two? Well, he was asked that yesterday by Jared Stillman. Here's what Barry Trotz had to say.
But you don't envision moving one of those guys to create something, you know, to pick one guy and then use the other guy to help we shore up the rest of the team.
We can. I'm not saying we won't. I think that's an opportunity, but you need the right dance partner. If someone came to me and said, you know, listen, I'll give you the third or fourth pick in this draft, and I'm looking for this and this, you know, be it one being one of those goalies, then you know, we have to think about it for sure, because that's your opportunity to get that maybe, you know, game-changing centerman.
So that was what Trotz had to say yesterday. And we've talked a lot about the centerman. Now, he was not shy of talking about the game-changing centerman yesterday, and he's talked about that from the moment he took the job and his introductory press conference back in February. He was talking about trying to find a game-changing centerman. So it was interesting. Number one, I mean, the goalie part of it, I think you and I have assumed, especially if it's Saros, like, if you're trading Saros, it's to find one of those game-changing forwards, specifically, hopefully, a centerman. I did find it interesting that he was, you know, in his hypothetical scenario there, he brought up the draft again. He's like, yeah, man. And like, you know, if somebody's, if we can get up to number three or four in the draft this year and the goalie is a part of that conversation, that's something we might have to listen to if you're Barry Trotz. I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. To me, that was about as close as you would ever get to someone confirming, yes, we are trading one of these goalies. But of course they are at some point, right?
I just think it would be asset mismanagement if you didn't, right? I mean, a lot of people have tried to compare this to like Rene and Saros, and I don't think it's the same. Like, the age difference is just not what it was. Like, Saros, by the time his contract comes up, is going to be like 29, 30 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. Like, you would think he's still got a lot of good hockey left in him. So to me, if you're signing Saros to another deal, you're saying that he's your goalie moving forward. If you're not, then it's obviously going to be a scar off. But, like, I don't envision a scenario. Like, they may play together for a year or, like, half a year where it's, like, Saros is the starter, Askarov is the backup, and that's the tandem. But beyond that, like, I think you've got to act before that if you're one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, one of them is your – in 2025. Yeah. One of them's your goalie for the next several years. One of them's gone.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's got to be that way. And
then you have a backup for a much lower price.
That's the thing. And it's a really interesting debate because, look, if you told me right now, hey, one day Yaroslav Askarov is going to be as good as UC Saros, I would probably say, okay, great. That's awesome. I mean, I think you'd sign up for that right now if you're the Predators. And then the question becomes, well, okay, well, if that's all he's going to be, why wouldn't you just keep UC Saros? And I hear that. The reason is because UC Saros, when that next contract comes up, he's going to make a lot of money. And I'm talking somewhere, just based on the way the goalie market is right now, he's probably going to be somewhere around $9 million a year. Now, he's probably worth it, but do you want to pay your goalie $9 million a year? And that's going to have to be the decision that Barry Trotz is going to have to make once that comes up.
I thought this league's about offense now. No one cares about goalies anymore.
Well, I mean, they may just say, you know what? We don't need a goalie. we're just going to pull it the whole time exactly. Out there, baby.
Hey, another skater? How much speed through the zone are we getting with another skater instead of a goalie?
That's right.
Yeah, that's just a big number.
It is.
That's a big number. And you know, right now, Saros's number is an incredible value,
it is.
Incredible bargain. But yeah, you consider that, and you consider his age, because Saros seems to me like one of those guys who is primed to be good for a while and go past your typical timeline for a goalie. I think.
Yep.
But you know that Askarov is young. And that you probably have a lot more years in the back end. So if it times up where it's like your best teams, as they hope, right? Like Chuck says, you know, 3-year project. Yeah, I mean, you think that in 2-3 years, if guys develop and if Trotz makes some great choices, that you know, they could be really good. Okay, so you want a goalie in his prime then for that group, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it's you know, and the other part of this is. And Barry Trotz basically confirmed this yesterday, too. He wants Askarov in Milwaukee next year, which is not a huge surprise. Like, I don't think there was – when they signed Kevin Lankinen to the deal again, I think we knew that Askarov was going to be in Milwaukee again next year. But he wants him to have another year of experience. And then you gather more information on the kid. And I said, you know, and I stand by this, if you told me that one day Askarov was going to be as good as Saros, I would take it. Now, the flip side of that is, I mean, there's a chance, and this is why he got drafted where he got drafted, that he could be better. I mean, he's got, I think, every bit the athleticism that Saros has. He's also bigger. He's got the size that you want in a goalie as well. So that doesn't guarantee anything. And I know that he's not even – I mean, he's not starting tonight. He didn't start the last game for Milwaukee. He's kind of hit a wall here, and Cooley's been in net. But, I mean, the overall picture of him this year has been really good. So next year in Milwaukee, you get another year of information if you're Barry Trotz to help you make this decision at some point. And maybe you say, you know what? We think he's going to be better than Yuschi Saros is one day. And if that's the case, then that's what I'm going with if I'm Barry Trotz.
Yeah. I mean, the ceiling may – the quote-unquote ceiling may be higher, okay?
Right.
And, like, I mean, he is a tremendously enticing prospect. I still think it's – just look at what Saros gives you night after night, season after season. That's a high bar.
It's a very high bar. And that's why it's such a difficult decision I make. But, I think some people have viewed the goaltending part of this as, why would you get rid of one of those two when you have two guys that you feel great about moving forward? I think Barry Trotz recognizes, even if he's not going to come out and actually just completely say it, like, I think he recognizes at some point you're going to have to make a decision with those two.
I took that comment as basically confirmation.
Yeah, I did too. And, I mean, you don't have to make that decision now, but, I mean, in order, like, the pieces we talk about, the 13 picks they've got this year, they have 7 draft picks in the top 83 picks this year. You know, they've got a lot of picks in 24 as well. Like, you can take your shots at guys with those, and hopefully, you know, one or two of those really work out and you find elite players, and that's great. But you also have a couple of assets in Saros and Askarov that may actually be what gets you one of these elite offensive players that we're talking about. So it's just a really interesting approach. I mean, that was kind of my main takeaway yesterday, is I think it's very clear what the approach is from Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett and this front office. Now, executing the approach is a different discussion, but they want to be more offensive. They're going to lean that way, and I think they may take some risks on some guys in the draft, and sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, I think he said yesterday he's charged his staff to find, like, 4 really, really good elite-level players in the next 2 drafts. If you walk away with 4 in the next 2 drafts, I think you'll take that.
That's pretty good. Matt from the 757, shout out to the 757 where I used to live, has a very long text. I'll summarize. Basically, they won the presser, harder to win hockey games. But is this stat true? Matt says that in the last 45 years, only 2 teams have won a cup that didn't have a top 3 draft pick. Have you heard that stat before?
I've not heard that stat before. I'm trying to go. I mean,
I want to know what were the 2 teams?
It's a great question. I mean, I'm trying to think. Like,
that is wild if that's true.
I mean, Tampa obviously had Stamkos, but when they won, he'd been in the league for 10 years. I mean, so, but at some point,
sure,
he was a top 3 pick.
Yeah. Well, but he was hugely important, though.
He was.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
So that's interesting. I tell us more, Matt, except with shorter texts.
Yeah, I would love to know more. I would love to see that stat. But
maybe Trotz just wants to get to 3 just to get to 3.
just get there,
that
man.
Stat. If we get to 3,
we got a chance.
We have a top 3 pick. We can erase that, you know, as a non starter.
You know, the Preds have had a top 3 pick once before. His name was David Legwand. Did not quite work out that way.
Hey, man. I was just, you know, I was going through that 06-07 team, and you were talking about it, and then Trotz talking about it. He had a nice season.
He did.
He had like 70 points that year.
It's amazing what playing with Paul Kariel will do. 615-737-1025. Our phone number is 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your thoughts, your best and worst things on our text line, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your submissions as always on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Look, I want to be creative and different. I mean, I could have done cheese rolling. We've watched some cheese rolling this week.
Awesome.
But I'm sorry. You guys let me go first, and I'm just going to do this. The best thing in sports is the Miami Heat.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, just flat out, Miami Heat just absolutely crapping on Boston in Game 7.
Ha.
It was amazing. And the worst thing in sports was the constant, and it continues, but just
I'm sorry.
It's just the constant disrespect of the Miami Heat. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Preach.
Seriously, when that Derek White play, great play by him, and bad, not boxing out by the Heat, but that set off this entire, like, wow, look at what the history means. Let's put it in context and Boston, blah, 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 blah. I mean, like, people, come on. Like, did you not see the Miami Heat get the 3-0 lead? Did you not see that how they came back in that game and almost stole it? I mean, it was the ESPN FPI is like 90, what was it?
97%.
97%.
That was heading into the series.
But I thought that I thought even like going at like game 7 or something.
The game 7
like
was too, but like the overall percentage heading into the series was 97%.
So it came all the way back around to 97%. Yeah. So love that everyone who likes Boston, roots for Boston, lives in Boston is suffering right now in a sports sense, you know, understand. And it's pretty amazing.
I mean, they've had their fair share of winning, right?
Oh, they deserve decades of this. Yes. So it's nice to see him get a little dose right now.
It is nice to see it. And it continues. I mean, we've already have Jay Williams talking about how the Heat are going to get swept. We'll see what happens. All I can do is say we'll see what happens. Michelle Knezevic, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
You're mad at me.
Well, my worst, I'll just piggyback off what Joe said. And I think it really irked me this morning when I was driving in listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And J. Will is already calling a Denver sweep, winning in four. I'm like, are we not watching the same Miami Heat team? I get it. Their team is not. They have Jimmy Butler. And then on the other side, you have Jokic, Jamal Murray. And they've just been performing at such a high level. But I mean, they've also been sitting for however long now. I mean, there is a possibility that Miami could win this series and also win one game. I mean, I really just think it's bizarre. The hate and just, you know, Miami's an underdog. What, they're 8 or 9 point underdogs in almost every game against Boston, I think 6 out of the 7. Now they're a 9 point underdog. Okay, just keep giving the underdog numbers. Miami thrives. And I actually think that this is going to be a competitive series. So watch out, Denver. The Heat are in town. And then moving to my best in sports, which is related to the Miami Heat. I saw this stat posted on SportsCenter the other day. And I just, okay, so just listen to this. I don't know if you guys saw this, but with the Heat advancing to the finals, Pat Riley has now been a part of 25% of the NBA finals in league history.
Yep.
So 3 as a player when he was on the Lakers, 10 as a coach, and now 6 as an executive. That is pretty incredible. Like, I read that stat.
He's Godfather.
I mean, he is. Like, if you just think about that, like 25% of all of them. I mean, it's wild. So shout out to the Heat. Stop disrespecting them. And if you have Pat Riley in there, you have a good shot at being there. So
before you go,
yep.
It what you this morning?
Irked me. Irked.
We need to nip this in the butt.
There's a K there.
Erg.
I told you. It's been, I feel like it's whatever you want it to be. Okay?
Yeah, it's IRK.
It's URG.
Okay.
It's IRK.
We're creating a new language here.
URG.
Yeah, man. All right, my best thing in sports. I mean, look, I'm a Heat fan, so it's the Miami Heat going to the NBA Finals. I will also add the Florida Panthers. I've really enjoyed watching the Florida Panthers play hockey. Matthew Tkachuk, and we talked about him a lot last year. I would have loved for the Predators to get in on that situation and try to bring Matthew Tkachuk here to Nashville, because I think he is the next American superstar in the NHL. And, I mean, he is the next American superstar in the NHL. He's a 100-point player. He's got an edge to him. He's got a really good personality that is marketable, which is something that this sport drastically needs. So it was cool to see him on the NBA on TNT with Shaq and Chuck and all those guys. It's going to be fun to watch this series. Vegas is the favorite in the series, but I like the way that Florida has played. I like the way Matthew Tkachuk has played, and I am rooting for the Panthers hard. So a South Florida double dose of the best thing in sports.
It's been an incredible run.
We'll see what happens in the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals. My worst thing in sports, and this is hilarious because I saw this earlier this week, and I went ahead and wrote it down as my worst thing in sports. At the time, the Oakland Athletics were 10-45. They're now 12-46, which means they've won 2 out of 3. So it's a hot streak for the Oakland A's, but I'm still giving them the worst thing in sports. 12-46, and we just now got to June, is pretty impressive of how bad you are. That is a 207 win percentage, and the Oakland A's are 24.5 games back of the Texas Rangers in their own division, and it's June the 1st. I don't know that I've seen anything quite like that before. They're going to be historically bad. 12-46.
Along with moving and everything.
That is true.
And the way that they're handling that, that Uncle Fingus has the whole A's organization as his worst.
Really?
Which is a good call.
There you go.
You and Uncle Fingus on the same page.
I mean, and I saw Moneyball the other day on TV, and they've come a long way from that.
Yeah, still a great movie.
Still a great movie. They've come a long way from that.
And yes, I've seen it.
Watch that on a loop. Have you?
Good. Oh, wow. There we go. Craig on the text line says, the best thing is Hines is fired. I knew we'd get that at some point. Worst? It took this long to get rid of Hines. This is from Craig on the text line.
Okay, Jared Berner.
Craig, be nice.
A lot of upset people about John Hines.
Fingus as best as Lipscomb making the NCAA baseball tournament.
Yes.
That's a good one.
I thought that they would be here in Nashville, but they're not. They're heading to Clemson to be along with the
Vols.
The Vols in that region. Keith from Bowling Green, I've not seen this, so I saw a lot of people mad about this last night. The best and worst thing is Ted Lasso.
No spoilers. I'm way behind on this season. No spoilers.
I'm just saying the best and worst thing.
Went through Succession.
Succession,
amazing
best.
Amazing finale. That should be a best also. Not in sports, but whatever. And real quick on Succession, the funeral episode, which I don't want to give any spoilers, but like the brother gives a very harsh, rips his brother in a funeral. And Greg's like, good hard take, Grandpa. So that's kind of sports, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Good hard take there.
LD from McMinnville says, Nugget sweep, JK, LOL. And he set the JK after. So do you really believe the Nuggets are sweeping the Heat, LD? That's the question.
Matt,
I can't wait for them to win tonight.
Me too, man. I'm here for it. Matt, you gotta nap. What time does this game start tonight?
7:30.
It's not bad.
Okay. All right. So Matt sent the spreadsheet of top three picks and champs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's, boy, I mean, it's obviously it's a long, lot of years. So I'm going to go through this.
James on the text line says, erg is the sound you make when you're driving and try to drink coffee and you miss your mouth with it and swerve and panic. Erk is totally different. Get it right. This is from James on the text line.
Don't erg her.
Can I do one more honorary worst in sports?
Sure.
Let's not cheer when people get fired from their job. Right, let's just be, you know, a little respectful.
I think that's a good point. Whatever are you
what
are you referring
There's
to?
There's been multiple scenarios. Let's just, you know,
yeah,
cheer for the new coach.
You don't have anyone in mind there?
Nope.
No? Okay. I mean I agree with the sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whether it be in normal life, in sports life, and everyday activities.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Reveling
the day that Shane Beamer gets fired, I'm going to.
Robbie's going to cheer.
It is 100% going to happen.
He'll be the new Vols coach.
I don't think so. God, I'd have to leave.
What if Heupel brings him in to be like special teams coach or something? You know, he'll be like the new Mike Eckler.
As long as he doesn't let him speak, it's fine. Just like
he'll
Shane,
just do all the pressers.
Completely stay away from the microphone and in front of any video recording device of any kind. Thank you,
man. The TikTok will be humming.
Speaking of Shane Beamer and the SEC, we're going to get into the SEC coming up next. We'll be joined by Jeff Schultz from The Athletic. Lots of discussion about the Southeastern Conference and whether or not they're playing an 8-game schedule, a 9-game schedule, as Texas and Oklahoma join the league starting next year. We will get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.